Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Well, that's the sound of rock cracking, and if you remember, about a year ago, last week, we celebrated, it's been 1 year since the amazing Trump miracle victory on November 8th of 2016. And you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And we do have an exciting little monologue put together. We'll play some from Sean Hannity and what he played about the 1 year anniversary. A great little clip to get us started off. We're going to start with that, and then we are going to talk about Trump in Asia. President Trump went to Asia. Wish we could do the little speeches from all the trips, but we very important of what he delivered, a message to North Korea, their dictator Kim Jong-un, and delivered it right there 30 miles from the DMZ and the line that separates North and South Korea. So we got some speeches from Donald Trump. But he's over there in Korea, in South Korea, and I believe he was trying to make a surprise visit to the DMZ zone there that separates North Korea from South Korea, and bad weather kept his helicopter from getting there. So he'll have to wait for another time to make that visit. Today's show, we have that, and then on the second half of the show, we are going to play our the Part B interview with Dan Perkins, author Dan Perkins, who is filling us in on ISIS and where we are today and what we have to be concerned about. And again, tragedy last week in a Sunday service in Sutherland Springs, Texas, massacre, a gunman comes in and just point blanks kills men, women, children, little children. Evil knows no words. So yes, our hearts and prayers go out for that family and churches everywhere, houses of worship. You got to have a plan these days. Evil is rampant. Evil is rampant. And I have to tell you that as we are taping this show for this week, the news came out about allegations against Judge Roy Moore by a then 14-year-old back in the late 70s. I can't say anything because I don't have information now. So maybe next week we'll have some more information and we'll share that with you and what Doc Holliday thinks about Judge Roy Moore. Now, we got to get on with the show. And let me just first play this clip from Sean Hannity, where he was talking about the 1 year anniversary. What a great, great way to get started. Take a listen to this Sean Hannity clip.
All right, where were you 1 year ago tonight? A historic milestone. It's been 1 year since Donald Trump was elected the 45th president of the United States. Now, the president pulled off one of the biggest upsets American politics has ever seen by easily defeating Hillary Clinton. Now, the president celebrated the anniversary by tweeting out, quote, "Congratulations to all the deplorables and the millions of people who gave us a massive 304 to 227 electoral college landslide victory." Now, President Trump's big win happened despite a media and a political class that was all unified in stopping him from reaching the Oval Office. Now, we can't forget how all the pundits, all the pollsters, all the experts, all the people in the know, the ones that talk to each other 24/7, they all thought it was impossible for you to elect Donald Trump. You may remember this.
Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican, which is surprising since I just assumed he was running as a joke.
Do it. Do it. Look at me. Do it. I will personally write you a campaign check now on behalf of this country, which does not want you to be president, but which badly wants you to run.
This man has got some momentum, and we better be ready for the fact that he may be leading the Republican ticket.
Next, I know you don't believe that, but I want to go on.
Sorry to laugh.
Which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump, to answer your call for political honesty, I just want to say you're not going to be president, all right? It's been fun.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
Donald Trump has won the state of Arkansas. Fox can also project that Donald Trump will win the states of Kansas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, and Wyoming. And we are about to make a major call. Fox News Decision Desk is now projecting that Donald Trump has won the state of North Carolina, projecting that Donald Trump will win the state of Utah.
A victory for Donald Trump in Ohio can be called by the Fox News Decision Desk at this point. Iowa will go to Donald Trump.
Donald Trump has won the state of Wisconsin.
Donald Trump will win the state of Florida. The Fox News Decision Desk has called Pennsylvania for Donald Trump. This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Now that was a night to remember last year, and it's one of the, I'd say one of the top 10 nights of my entire life, hearing the just listening to the returns come in and seeing the news media, the mainstream media, all giddy. Because if you remember, they had got an exit poll saying Trump was going to get trounced. And already the clip of Hillary celebrating with Bill, and the Clintons were going to just keep the old shenanigans going on. They had the FBI, the CIA, everything was going to be under their control. But the votes really started coming in. And lo and behold, folks, an amazing, amazing night. You heard just clips of it. And when you get a chance, it's worth going back and going to YouTube and looking at election night coverage of 2016. It's still good for the soul. Oh, wow. Now, President Trump went to Asia and he had some tough words. Let's listen to what he was saying about, giving a message to North Koreans, Korea's leaders and their dictator. Take a listen.
The regime has interpreted America's past restraint as weakness. This would be a fatal miscalculation. This is a very different administration than the United States has had in the past. Today, I hope I speak not only for our countries, but for all civilized nations, when I say to the North, do not underestimate us and do not try us. We will defend our common security, our shared prosperity, and our sacred liberty. We did not choose to draw here on this peninsula. This magnificent peninsula, the thin line of civilization, that runs around the world and down through time. But here it was drawn, and here it remains to this day. It is the line between peace and war, between decency and depravity, between law and tyranny, between hope and total despair. It is a line that has been drawn many times in many places throughout history. To hold that line is a choice free nations have always had to make. We have learned together the high cost of weakness and the high stakes of its defense. America's men and women in uniform have given their lives in the fight against Nazism, imperialism, communism, and terrorism. America does not seek conflict or confrontation, but we will never run from it. History is filled with discarded regimes that have foolishly tested America's resolve. Anyone who doubts the strength or determination of the United States should look to our past, and you will doubt it no longer. We will not permit America or our allies to be blackmailed or attacked. We will not allow American cities to be threatened with destruction. We will not be intimidated, and we will not let the worst atrocities in history be repeated here on this ground we fought and died so hard to secure.
Tough, very tough words deliberately delivered toward North Korea's dictator. He didn't call him Rocket Man. But now if you watch the speech, if you watch the televised speech, in fact, one of my children said, "Daddy, why do they have that rocket there by Donald Trump when he's speaking about North Korea?" And what it was a large South Korean flag that was on a, if you saw that, it was on one of those stationary poles, but it looked like a rocket. It really looked like a rocket. So interesting if you saw that, or you can check it on YouTube as Donald Trump gave his speech to the South Korean equivalent of Congress there. Now, in his speech, he just laid it on North Korea to basically said, "Do not try us. Look at our history. Do not try us." And then he went on and talked about the reasons why North Korea is in such a squandering of human capital and under the communist tyranny rule. And he called out some atrocities and pointed out the difference between North Korea and South Korea. And I wish I could play that speech, but go back and listen to that the president's speech in South Korea. Very, very tough speech in explaining truthfully the difference between South and North Korea. And then they've had a chance to experiment with two different ways, and one is found very wanting, and he let it be known. Now, we got coming up on the second half of the show, our Part B interview with Dan Perkins, and you can go back a couple weeks earlier when we had Part A, and he was filling us in, an expert on what's going on in the Middle East with ISIS and rolling it up. But he was pointing out, even though you roll up the ISIS territory, then it has spread out. So we're going to be talking to him about that, and stay tuned for that next week. I'm telling you, there's so much going on, and we'll get digging deeper into it, between what's going on Capitol Hill and tax reform, what's going on. I wanted to have more about that, but the Senate Republicans decided they want their own plan, and so now it looks like this thing could be delayed. And I'm telling you, the more Republicans delay, because we know that the Republicans lost the governorship in Virginia and New Jersey last week, and Democrats feel very empowered. And if the Republicans start delaying this tax reform, delaying it, You know, there's nothing more the Democrats want to do than do whatever it takes to get them to delay, and then defeat. They don't want Donald Trump's agenda moving forward and bringing more prosperity and freedom, because the more prosperity and freedom and the economic growth we have, the less chances they have to win in 2018. So it's imperative for them to slow this down so that our economy will not be able to pick up in great strides until after the 2018 elections, when they hope to take over the Senate and the House. So a lot is riding on getting this done quickly. And I don't know if the senators understand, the Republican senators understand how much their tail is in the crack. I tell you. But let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. Glad to have you, and glad to remind you I got a book out there, some books. You can go to DocHolliday.org, go right on the front page of WebTalkRadio's Rock Splitting Politics, and you can clip on a book there. It says Bedrock Truths. That's a book I wrote with Dr. Alveda King. That's the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and also Dr. Alex McFarland, who put a book out called Bedrock Truths. Order that book. And there's other books there you can go and order. And we appreciate those who have, and look forward to those who are going to order. Now, I do want to tell you on the second half of the show, yes, it's author Dan Perkins. If you missed the first half, go back a couple of weeks and listen to that show. And by all means, last week, you know, we delayed it, part B of Dan Perkins to this week, because we had Pamela Geller on, and she has a truth meter when it comes to talking about jihadis and the Islamic jihad and where it comes from, where it stems from. It has a lot of history about how the Muslim religion came about and Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad. So if you haven't heard Pamela Geller in last week's show, please go back and listen to that. Now listen to a little clip from our good friend Todd Starnes there at Fox News, and then we'll go right into our interview, second part interview with author Dan Perkins.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. Sweet mercy.
Woo, all right.
That's good.
And going with that background, and let's go back over into Syria and Iraq, where we're talking about. And now, and you can look at a map of Syria today, which is just, you know, it's just crazy, where, you know, at one time, it, what, almost half of Syria or more was under ISIS control, and large parts of Iraq. And now it's dwindled down to just little lines. But
right.
One of the questions that I had is, what happens now? I guess we're hearing about now with the Kurds, and they're Muslim too. The majority of the Kurds are Muslim, the way I understand
right.
it. But
right.
yet they want to have their independence, and that's, of course,
yes.
Becoming a problem in itself. So what do you see there of the Kurds in Syria and Iraq?
I think that ISIS, as we know them today, as it relates to Syria and Iraq, in a simple word, they've moved on.
Uh-huh.
They're working in Europe. They're working in other places in the Middle East. They're working all over the world. Syria is no longer important to them, nor is Iraq important to them.
Now, saying that real quick, but you know, they were talking about Raqqa, their capital. Of course, that's where they thought the end of time would come, you know, the Mahdi, or I believe, and of course now they don't have Raqqa. So is that causing them to rethink their caliphate?
No, I don't think so at all, because they're in so many other places around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just think about what's happened when Angela Merkel decided, for whatever reason, and I think I know why she did it, she opened the gates for a million people to immigrate from the Middle East and Africa.
Right.
And if you go back and look at the pictures of the people who crossed the borders that came into those countries, they were young men. young men. They weren't staying at home and fighting for their country. They left by the millions, and they came into, in a very short period of time, they came into Germany. And even though they're staying in camps, from the camps, they're influencing what women can wear, what roles women can have in the country. They're trying to establish a political presence. This is less than 4 years. Less than 4 years. They have changed the face of Europe. Hmm. They're gaining more and more control. Europe, from a practical standpoint, Doc, look at the physical size and the population of Syria and Iraq versus Europe.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Europe, landmass is huge and little country.
But what about
Syria,
the population? Dwarfs Syria and Iraq. So that their stronghold in Europe and in Asia is phenomenal and growing. They're also the fastest growing population in the world at a time when many of the Western industrialized nations have seen their birth rates drop below their replacement rate.
Right.
And so the Muslims are growing as a population faster. The rest of the world is slowing down or diminishing, so that creates greater and greater opportunities for the Muslims to take over more and more.
Mm. Well, that brings us to where is the future of ISIS? Of course, President Trump talks about wiping them out. And if what you just said, you know, they may not have a capital there in Syria anymore or a place of refuge in Iraq, but they're all over the place now, using the internet, communicating over the internet, where they can even radicalize someone in the United States or Canada or anywhere in the world, but through the internet. So is that where you
That's right.
see they're getting their strength now?
Absolutely. They are better at recruiting than almost anybody else in the world.
Which blows my mind, because I mean, I think how could you recruit? But all they need is one almost wacko person, and all of a sudden and this is another thing that I had explained to me by an ex-Muslim, but he was talking about a lot of times some of the Muslims who do the things that live very badly, what we'd call a sinful life. They're the ones that they say, look, you know, you ain't getting to heaven unless you die in jihad. And those are the very ones sometimes that they get to do these suicide missions.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. But I think there's a bigger issue, Doc.
Uh-huh.
And that is that while we must be concerned about those people who are radicalized and are doing tremendous terror in Europe, with all these attacks, and they're trying to get it done in the United States, we have to understand that that's only superficial. What we need to be concerned about is what's going on in the mosque and how those mosques are breeding people who are trying to bring about political change within countries, not revolutionary change.
And that's, I know, even a more scary thought to me, and this is my thinking, well, we got Europe to look at, and that's a buffer, and we see Europe go down, then, where are we in America? Would we finally wake up? Or would Europeans come flooding over here to try to get to America?
I think the most astounding comment I've heard was made by Theresa May, the Prime Minister of England.
Uh-huh.
At the last London Bridge attack, she came out and she said, quote, "When will this stop?" Mm. Like she was hopeless to do anything about it. When you begin to change and you get rid of political correctness in Europe, things will change. But as long as you have a political correct philosophy in a country, they will gain a greater and greater toehold. And then get control of the country. And so, Theresa May, the answer to your question is, you'll get rid of the problem when you decide to act, and when the other European leaders decide to act. but they are so ingrained with political correctness, they're not going to let it change. And you could have, just think about that. Think about the idea that Europe becomes a Muslim country. All of Europe becomes controlled by Muslims. I mean, I wrote a book, a children's book that came out last December called Peter the Little Irish Seal. And it was written based on Irish and Celtic mythology dating back to the 5th century about a special kind of seal called a Selkie that could shed its skin and come on land and live as a human. I wrote it because the culture in Ireland is being attacked by the Muslims. And this little book is a way for me to stand up and say, let's preserve Celtic history. Let's don't replace it with Muslim history. And that's what's happening. They want to change these countries to Muslim countries. And they're going to lose their identity, their history, and their culture.
One quick question, and then I want
you
to tell us how to get your book. I know we're running out of time here, but you just mentioned that about the Irish culture and what the Muslims are doing. Do you see the political correctness tearing down statues, changing names here in the United States? And I know we're talking about Confederate statues, and but is that not American history? And when you get rid of history, is this a part of preparing the way for what maybe the Muslims want?
You know, I want to ask you, I know we're short on time. Let me ask you a question. I know it's going to sound crazy, but just let me ask you this question.
Okay.
What did you have for lunch yesterday?
What did I have for lunch yesterday? I'd have to think, but I know what I had. I just had a thing of yogurt.
Okay. Can you change that?
Can I change that?
Can you change what you ate yesterday?
Cannot change it.
Can we change American history?
Can't change it, but we can change what we know about it.
We can't change the facts of American history. We can learn from those facts and try and make America a better country going forward, but we can't change the past. And if we ignore the past, then who are we? I wrote a piece on this very issue. If you take down the monuments and the statues, what do you replace them with? Do you take the Civil War out of American history in the classrooms in this nation? If we don't understand that it's both the good things that we do as a nation and the bad things that we do as a nation that makes us who we are. If we're selectively getting rid of certain things, what are we going to be in the future? If we allow the Muslims to come in and take over our country and get rid of our Constitution and replace it with Sharia law, we're to blame for it. We let it happen. And if we did it under the basis of political correctness, that we're changing, we're trying to go back and change the past. We can't change the past. All we can do is learn from the past, try not to make those mistakes again, and teach our children what was wrong in the past and what was right in the past. They become much better citizens if they understand the good, the bad, and the ugly.
What you did right there, Dan, just summed up exactly what I think America needs. I mean, you just summed it up right there so that we can.
Well, thank you.
The good, the bad, and the ugly is there. I mean, learn from it and not do the bad and the ugly and work on doing the good. And
exactly.
That
exactly.
is a simple concept, and political correctness has nothing to do with it.
Right, right. As it relates to your other question, if you go to danperkins.guru,
okay.
You can see reviews of my books, and you can see political commentaries that I write. Television and radio show appearances like yours are on there, so they can get a good sense. And I have, fortunately, I have a new book coming. Actually, two books coming out.
Okay.
In the next 30 to 45 days. One is a fourth book in the trilogy on radical Islamic nuclear terrorism, and by contrast, is a book called Why Can't Grammy Remember Me, to deal with how to educate children between the age of 9 and 12 about dementia.
Okay.
And that should be out by the end of the month.
Wow. You're doing a lot of work, aren't you, Dan?
I'm trying to.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we'll have to do this again sometime.
I would love to. Thank you for giving me so much extra time, and I enjoyed it, and I hope your audience did too. And Doc, thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.